Praise the Lord. We want to thank God and thank God for everyone who are here. Welcome in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go into the word. Let's go into the word. So, first of all, we are going to look at what God was talking to me for to release tonight is about demonic visitations, and more of what are demons, or how do demons visit, can a demon visit you, and when do they visit you, and what are actually demons. I want to ask you one question. Did God create demons? Did God create demons? Demons were not created by God. Demons are the offspring of fallen angels. Write it down. First of all, demons are the offspring of fallen angels. You have to understand from the word of God that Lucifer and the fallen angels who fell with him have the ability to reproduce. Have the ability to reproduce or to produce, as man has the ability to produce. Remember, I taught you about men were created in the order of angels. And I told you there are similar aspects and characteristics in the creation of angels and in the creation of man. Because the Bible says men were created in the order of what? Angels. Okay, let me take you to that verse if you don't know. In the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Chapter number 2. And verse number. Okay, verse number 6. Verse number 7. Let's read verse number 7. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. So the Bible says that God created man a little lower than the angels. In other words, he created man in the order of the angels. So first he created angels in the same order, with some of the same characteristics, aspects with which he created man. And in one of my previous sermons, I told you one of the similar characteristic that is in the angels and in the man is the will. Is the will. The greatest enemy of God on earth currently, the original enemy is Lucifer, because he was the one who rebelled against God and wanted to take the throne of God. But currently, Lucifer is not the primary element that is fighting, is not the primary being that is fighting God. The root of what is fighting God is the will of man on earth. Demons and Satan himself and fallen angels cannot fight using human beings until the human beings will to invite Satan to use them. So the will of man, the selfishness of man, the will of man is fighting God currently, because of which demons and fallen angels are having are able to find expression to work through human beings, through the human race. Are we understanding? So this will of man, the will that I have, you see, I have a will. I can accept or I can reject. I can receive or I can say yes or I can say no. As intercessors, we have to understand the will of men when we pray for the salvation of people. God can invest your time on a person, but if the person says no, has a very stubborn will, even God himself cannot do anything to them. But it is not that God will restrain from fulfilling his purpose. He will take that person out of his sight because the person's will is fighting God, and choose a different person and use that person to fulfill his will. Are we understanding until now? It was God's purpose and will to take the people of Israel to Egypt. But the Bible is so clear that the people who came out of Egypt never entered the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. A new generation arose and the Lord allowed them to die in the wilderness. Why? Because their will was fighting God. They did not want to go to the promised land. They wanted to go back to Egypt. So listen to me. So man was created in the order of angels, and the first similar aspect in angels and in man is the will. That man has the decision, man has the ability to choose, and even angels have the ability to choose. And that was the will of Lucifer, is what made Lucifer fall from the presence of God, from the dwelling place of God. It was the will. When you read Isaiah chapter number 14, it says, I will ascend above God. I will make my throne as of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. So it was the will of Lucifer. It was the will. He chose to be like God. The will. Are we understanding? That is one of the similar aspect in angels and in man. The second similar aspect. Okay, remember, man was created in the order of angels. So how angels were created, the same elements God used to create you and me, like angels. Okay, stay with me. The second aspect that is similar in us and the angel is appetite. Write it down. Is appetite. Is the desire to eat. Are we understanding that? Do you know angels eat food? Remember in the book of 1 Kings chapter number 19, the Bible says when Elijah wanted to die, he was saying, God, take my life away. Remember, the angels brought food for him. What he ate was what angels eat. It was the food of the angels that the angels brought for Elijah. Remember when the three angels in the form of men visited Abraham at the terebinth tree? What did they do? Abraham made a meal for them. And what did they do? They ate the meal. Angels have an appetite. They have a desire to eat food. Are we understanding that? The tabernacle. Hallelujah. Okay, the tabernacle in the Old Testament that Moses made, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews says it is the same tabernacle that is in heaven. It's a copy that was given to Moses. And in the holy place of the tabernacle, they eat. Remember, Melchizedek came not from the womb of a woman. He came from the temple of God that is in heaven. And he received tithes from Abraham. He is that angelic order creation who can eat food. And that is the second similar aspect in man, which is also in angels. Even man has the desire to eat food. I will come to that at a later part. That because, listen to me, write it down what I am saying to you. A being that can eat is a being which is having sexual desires. If a being can eat, your eating, your filling of the stomach, the more you eat, the more you eat, the more you eat, the more sexual desire will be strong in you, strong in a being. Stay with me. You will say, Brother Raul, I will show you from the Bible, don't worry. It's there in the Bible. I will show you everything. Okay? So what did I say? The first aspect that is similar in the angels and man is the will. The second is the desire to eat food, which is called appetite. That is the second aspect that is similar. The third aspect, no one knows this. The third aspect, which is similar in angels and in man, is the ability to give birth to the seed, produce and reproduce. Angels can reproduce. Stay with me. It's all in the Bible. Are we understanding that? Angels can reproduce. That is where demons come from. Demons are the offspring of fallen angels. Do we see that? Okay. Hallelujah. Demons are what? The offspring of fallen angels. So, understand this. Man, so I created something. I created, for example, this plastic water bottle using some kind of plastic. And then I some kind of non-chemical plastic so that the water does not get contaminated, which is inside of it. And then I used another plastic, hard plastic, to for the cap of the bottle, and another plastic to wrap the bottle. So I want to now create a prototype, and then I would create a prototype of this. I want to create another product in the order of this plastic bottle. So I use the same aspects and elements to create another product, but it's not this product, it's another product. But the characteristics and the elements that I used to create the new product was from the original product. You know, like the iPhone, iPhone 10, iPhone 11, iPhone 12. Everything that is in the iPhone 11 is in the iPhone 12. It's more or less the same. Everything that is in the iPhone 12 is in the iPhone 13. But yet people want, oh, there is a new iPhone in the market, let's go and buy it. But if we look at what has been used and what has been offered, it's 90% similar. But still people buy it because it's a new. That is how man was created, in the order of the angels. Are we understanding? Okay. And the aspects that were similar is first the will, is second, and second the appetite, the third is the ability to produce. So fallen angels can produce. Listen to me. I have read books to study, just to study, but what I teach is only what the things that are in the scriptures, in the Bible, in the 66 books of the Bible that you and me have. Okay, hallelujah. But that is a book of Enoch that I read, which is not in the Bible, not included in the Bible. And when I read that book, I came, it was written in that book that the angels were created. They have the ability to have sex. But remember, in the book of Genesis chapter number 6, they had sex with the daughters of men. They had relationship with the daughters of men. And when that happened, God was displeased, and that's why God punished the angels which did that act. So God created angels, but God did not allow them to mix with the human race. It was restricted by God for the angels to mix with the human race. In other words, the ministering angels who minister to God, God restricted them to use their ability to have sex with men. But since Satan, Lucifer, and his group of angels rebelled against God, and they were no longer under the authority of God, that's why they broke the command of God and had sex with human beings. And that is where the offspring of Satan started to get produced, that is demons. Okay, stay with me. Okay, hallelujah. What did I say? Demons are the seed of Satan. Write it down. Demons are the seed of Satan. Satan has the ability to reproduce, and their offspring is the mixture of demons and humans. That is the offspring of Satan. Hallelujah. What? The offspring of Satan is the mixture of demons and human beings. Okay, let me show you from the scripture now. Whatever I said, I will show you from the scripture. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 13 onwards. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this? What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." And this is important. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between what? Your seed." Underline. What is that? Your seed. What does that mean? That means Satan can produce. Satan can give birth through his seed. Okay. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Okay. You are not the full screen. Okay. Is my screen proper? Okay. Okay. I think. Oh, all right. Gary's laptop has to be set. Okay. No problem. So, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed." That means Satan has the ability to reproduce. He can give birth to something that is given birth through his seed. Like human beings give birth, the seed comes to the man, that is the sperm. And Satan has that ability, has that element in his being, the seed through which he can give birth. And that is the offspring of Satan. The offspring of Satan is the mixture of a human being and a demon. What does the Bible say? It says, "Between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." So, the Bible is a book of warfare. And the warfare is between the seed of Satan, the offspring of Satan, and the offspring of human beings. And demons are the offspring of Satan. Are we understanding that now? Let me give you some more scripture. Matthew's chapter number 3. Matthew's chapter number 3. Verse number 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?'" When you read Bible commentaries about the brood of vipers, the commentary refers you that John the Baptist is referring to the wickedness and to the evil that the Pharisees do. That's why he uses the name brood of vipers. But let me bring you to the revelation of brood of vipers. He is addressing them by their identity. What is the meaning of brood of vipers? The meaning of brood of vipers is the offspring of the serpent. Is the offspring of the serpent. The seed of the serpent. The family of the vipers. The family of the serpent. You offspring of the old serpent. That is what he is telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Where did they emerge from? They are a mixture of demon and human beings, the Pharisees. Yeah, that is what they are. Okay. If you still don't believe that, let me take you to the words of Jesus. Matthew's chapter number 12, verse 34. Matthew's chapter number 12, verse 34. Now, let me ask you a question. Are the words in red in your Bible? The red Bible? Okay, the words of Jesus, red in red. What he says? "Brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. The snake inside of you utters bitter things, because you are the offspring of the old serpent." Are we understanding that? A mixture of demon and human beings. A snake in the covering of the flesh. Okay? Okay, if you still don't believe, let me take you to another verse. Matthew's 23. Matthew's 23. Verse number 33. Again, the words in red, what Jesus said. Serpent, serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Jesus speaking again. Now, it's okay, Jesus spoke once, maybe he spoke as a phrase to describe their evil, but he's speaking again and again. He's saying, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, who are they? They are the offspring of the serpent, a mixture of demons and human beings, the offspring of the serpent, the reproduction of serpent, that the serpent started to reproduce after he got a hold of Adam and Eve." Okay, I'm not going into that. The bloodline of Satan and the line of Satan and the line of God, the seed of Satan and the seed. I have taken that sermon. I have explained already how from the descendants of Cain, Satan started off his offspring. And from the descendants of Seth, God started off his offspring. All those things I'm not going to go in detail. That's a detailed study. But what we are going to look at tonight is, first of all, I'm starting off with the origination of demons. Okay? And the origination, the production of demons is, they are not a creation of God. God does not want to create demons. God has no use of demons. God did not create demons. Demons are the offspring of Satan. When fallen angels have sex, they produce demons. Are we understanding until now? Okay, hallelujah. Because I told you, man created in the order of angels, similar aspects are the will, the appetite, and the ability to reproduce. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, so that makes us clear that demons are the offspring, are produced by Satan and not by God. Now, the second question that arises is, how did demons come into existence? How did demons come into existence? What are demons? They are the offspring of Satan, and they are the mixture of what? Demons and flesh, human beings. How did they come into existence is in Genesis chapter number 6. Let's go there. Let's go there. Genesis chapter number 6. Now it came to pass, verse number 1, I am reading verse number 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. That is something the devil is insecure about. And what the devil is insecure about is population. When the world gets populated, the satanic agents on the face of the earth, who are the mixture of demons and human beings, who are the one in the, they are serpents in the covering of flesh. They get insecure when men are populated, when men grow, they multiply. Because men are originally the offspring of the Most High God. And when they grow, they do you know the pandemic that came a year back, which was there, was a depopulation satanic agenda. It came because the population, I don't know the numbers, I forgot it. The population of the earth crossed a certain number. And when the population of the earth crosses a certain number, the serpent gets worried. The serpent gets worried. He wants to depopulate the earth. He wants to bring a depopulation through whatever agenda he can do. And the agenda that of depopulation that he carries out from that of old is to turn men against God who created them. When he is successful, listen to me very carefully. When he is successful to turn men against the Most High God, he knows that God will get angry and start to destroy mankind. So he devises the agenda by making people sin against God. Stay with me. We will read Genesis 6. That is what will happen in Genesis 6. Do you know God destroyed the earth by a flood in Genesis? In Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Why? Because men's heart were continually thinking evil. They became exceedingly evil. We will come to that. Why did that happen? When Satan wants to turn mankind against God, what you know what does he do? He multiplies his reproduction of demons. He produces more demons. More and more demons. Because, for example, if the population of India, let me use US figures, 10 million people. If the population of India is 10 million people, and if Satan has 2 million demons, how those 2 million demons will turn 10 million people against God? No. So there has to be a increase in the production line of demons. Are you understanding what I am saying? So a rise in population is a threat to Satan. If the population increases to 20 million people, and in his list, in his company, 300,000 demons are working, how can 300,000 demons can manipulate 20 million people? Are we understanding? So Satan has to bring an increase in his production line, in his reproduction of demons. Demons are birthed, people of God. Some of them are ancient, but some of them are birthed. Oh God, hallelujah. Listen to me. Stay with me. Okay. Are you with me? Stay with me. So now, when Satan has to turn mankind against God, he would do it by an increase in the production of demonic spirits, evil spirit. And that is what is happening in Genesis chapter number 6. That is what is happening in Genesis chapter number 6. It starts off with, it came to pass, verse number 1, it came to pass when men began to what? Multiply on the face of the earth. What did Satan do? And daughters that were born to them were born to them. And the sons of God, other words, fallen angels, Satan and his group of angels, the team of angels who fell. Those are the sons of God. Saw the daughters of men. They were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. What fallen angels started to do is get married with human beings when they saw the population was increasing. Are you understanding? When they saw the population was increasing, they married with the human beings. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. The lifespan of man was deteriorated or decreased by God. After what? After Satan executed sex or relationship with human beings. After that, God said, let not man live for 700 years, 800 years. Let me reduce his lifetime. And in 120 years, one generation will die and the next will come up. So that Satan, you see, hallelujah, if a man collaborates with Satan at the age of 50 and God allows him to live for 700 years, Satan can have his expression through that man for another 700 years. But if God allows that person to die in 80 years, Satan has to, the demon has to leave that body. And that is the danger for a demon, because the demons find convenient habitation. It prefers to stay in one body forever because the habitation has been created. It's very difficult for a demon when a demon has to leave a body and go and search for another body, another house. Are you understanding, people of God, what I am saying? After the fallen angels started to have sex, relationship with the daughters, with human beings, mixed with the human beings. After that, God took a decision and God said, my spirit shall no longer strive with flesh, with man. Let me reduce their lifetime, their lifespan to 120 years. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. Because the demons started to come. Okay, let me show you that. Verse number four. There were giants. Okay. Verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. The sons of God, the fallen angels, had sex with the daughters of men. And when that happened, what were born? Mighty men. A mixture of a man with a demon inside was born. So the more they have sex, more men were born with a snake inside of them, with a serpent inside of them. That's the devil's bloodline. Are we understanding? This is the seed of the devil. That God said, there will be enmity between your seed and between the woman's seed. So that is how the offspring of Satan is defined. The offspring of the Satan, of a fallen angel, is a mixture of flesh and a serpent and a demon inside of the flesh. The more they gave birth, the more seeds were born and demons were reproduced. So demons started to reproduce. Demons started to increase in the production line of Satan. Verse number 5.
First step is to identify the colors and patterns on the snake. So medical.
Someone is searching for snakes now. Okay, listen to me. Demons started to increase in the production line of Satan. Verse number 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. After the offspring of Satan were born through the daughters of men, are we understanding? That verse number 4 is the intent of Satan. Satan just wants to use you as a womb to conceive his seed, to conceive his agendas, to give birth to the manifestation of his intents and plan. Like he used the wombs of the women, the daughters of men, to conceive giants, which are the mixture of demonic spirits and flesh. And when these giants were born on the face of the earth, the demonic spirits through their bodies started to be released. That is called a spell. That is called a spell. Do you know Goliath was a spell teller, was a sorcerer who is a speaker, a spell teller? Read your Bible carefully. Yeah, the Bible says he was tall and he had all those things, and he was a mighty warrior and all those things. But when you read your Bible, you will see that Goliath never fought with Israel. What he did was to only speak. And when he spoke, the whole Israel, whatever the number was, how much ever the number of the people of Israel, the army of Israel was, they were all paralyzed with fear. That is a spell teller. When the men of this mighty men were born through the sex of a fallen angel, and a daughter and a woman, that is a human being. Mighty men were born, and what this men became is the releaser of spells of demonic spirit. And after that, that's why the verse 5 came in. After that, God was not happy. Because why? The thoughts of the heart, of the mind, in other words, of people were continually evil. Why they were continually evil? Because this populated earth, every person was starting to get occupied, their minds were getting occupied by demons, 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 so that they start to sin against God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? If you are understanding, say amen. Let me see how many of you are getting that.
Amen.
Stay with me. Stay with me. Okay. This is how Satan works. I'm not talking about Satan's agenda to make you sick, to make you poor. No, no, no. I am talking Satan's main agenda is on a global level. But the church thinks on an individual level. How will God bless me? How will I get that money? How will I get that breakthrough? How my husband will change? How my children will change? But Satan does not think like that. He thinks on a global level. But we Christians think on individual level. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't think on global level. Because we don't think on global level, we are not able to expose the global satanic agenda, which are affecting individuals. Are we understanding? You have to understand how Satan thinks. Satan is not interested in targeting individual. He is interested in taking over nations, so that once he takes over the whole nation, automatically the individuals are tormented by him. How much ever wholehearted Christian you are, if you live in a nation where the gospel is not permitted by the government, you will suffer. You will suffer in that nation. All that you can do is hide. And so even though you are wholehearted, you are reading the Bible, but because this Satan is operating on a global level, on a national level, he is still able to torment you because he covers the earth with a dark veil. Isaiah talks about that. Satan covers the earth with a dark veil. His agenda is global. He works on a global level. He works on a global level. Oh God, hallelujah. And that is what started to happen. Demons started to multiply when there was a sex, when there was a coming together of a fallen angel and of a human being. Demons started to be produced. And the whole earth, when demons started to get produced, Satan started to compete with the production line of God. The production line of God is human beings. So he started to compete by producing demons as of the numbers of the human population. And that's why the verse number 5 comes in, and it says the thoughts of man's heart started to continually become evil. It all started after the fallen angels came down to have sex with the daughters of men. It all started after that. You see that? Are we understanding the depopulation agenda of Satan? Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. People don't see in the spirit realm. When the pandemic was on, around for 1 year, people were asked to stay inside houses. And that kind of atmosphere is convenient for satanic rituals to be carried on. I don't want to go into politics, into news, into everything, but don't believe the news. I know many, 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 many statements made from doctors from the US where people, I know a person, they asked me to pray during the pandemic. He was a relative of some other Hindu person. And the person went into the hospital for some throat issue. And then by the night, when the person called, The person said to the family, I want to come back to my house. I want to come back because these people are doing something. I want to come back to my house in the hospital. Because I just had some throat problem and they are making it worse and maybe I will die here. So after getting that message from the family member in the hospital, they rushed to the hospital early morning. When they rushed to the hospital early morning, they said he is dead. And they asked for the body. They said, no, we don't know the body because many people are dying. Hallelujah. When the pandemic was on, there was an increase in the number of blood sacrifices to Satan. When the pandemic was on, there was an increase in the number of satanic rituals which were going on. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? So Satan works in a similar pattern, in secrecy. Satan works in secrecy. Okay, let me not go into that. Let me not go into that. Verse number 6. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, let's stop that. So that is how Satan wants to turn people against God on a global level. And he can only do that when there is an increase in the offspring of Satan. When there is an increase in the production of demons. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. In the same way, heaven is interested to increase its production line. Now, listen to me. Every human being born on the earth is not the seed of God. But the person who receives Christ and is born again by the Holy Spirit and understands the Holy Spirit, has the Holy Spirit in him, walks with the Holy Spirit, is the seed of God. The person who is born by the Spirit is the seed of God. Are we understanding? In the Bible, I searched in the scripture and I found out in the scripture the place where the production line of God started off. The production line of God started off with Abraham. Are we understanding? Listen to me. Stay with me. It started off with Abraham. That's why Abraham is the first in the order of patriarchs. It's not Noah, it's Abraham, who is the first in the order of the patriarchs. And he's called the God of Abraham, then Isaac. That is the seed. How the seed, I will come to that. And then Jacob. Abraham was the starting member through whom God started his production line, to give birth through his spirit. Hallelujah. Before Abraham, men who existed on the face of the earth were not the seed of God. It was just the flesh, the human being, because the spirit had left man. Listen to me. But when Abraham, that's why Noah also sinned. I will come to that. But when Abraham was chosen by God, he was searching for a man. God was searching for a man who could surrender all to God, even the womb of his wife, Sarah. God purposely made Abraham wait and Sarah wait until Sarah's womb was dead and Abraham's body was dead, so that scientifically they could not give birth. Then the Spirit of God can come and give birth. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 21. Genesis. Okay. Before going to Genesis chapter 21, turn with me to Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9. Verse number Verse number 7 onwards. Okay, verse number 6 onwards. Verse number 6 onwards. But it is not the word of God has, it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. What is Paul saying there? What is Paul saying there? Listen to me. He's saying that all Israel is not the seed of Abraham. Because the Bible says, not all, you know, all Israel is not the seed of God, though they are Jewish people. And they say, we were born through the bloodline of Abraham. We came through the bloodline of Abraham. But Apostle Paul is saying, in Isaac, Isaac is the element. Through Isaac, whoever comes, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Listen to the Bible carefully, what it is saying. Verse number 8. That is, those who are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. In other words, not the seed of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. And what is the promise? The promise was Isaac. So, any Jewish person sitting here who is a descendant of, who is a descendant of Abraham? No, right? But how you are still the seed that came from Abraham? Can you explain that? Can anyone explain that? If you are not the descendant of Abraham, how you became the seed of Abraham? You will say through Jesus Christ. But how? Technically how? Because let me take you to Genesis 21. Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Mind the scripture, the way it says how Sarah conceived. Before this it says, Adam knew his wife Eve and she bore Cain. Adam knew his wife Eve and she bore Abel. Adam knew his wife Eve and she bore Seth. But this is not in that order how Isaac was born. Abraham knew his wife and Isaac was born. No, it says the Lord visited Sarah and did was for Sarah as he said. You see that? And gave Abraham a son. So listen to me. What I am saying is scripture. Isaac was not born through the sperm of Abraham. Isaac was born by the Spirit of God, by the seed of God that was put in the womb of Sarah. That is what the Bible says. Are we understanding that? That is how he was born. And that's why when we listen to me, are we understanding that? Listen to me. When we receive Jesus, we are born by the same seed which gave birth to Isaac. And that's why we become the seed which is called in Isaac, the seed of Abraham. Amen. Are you understanding, or shall I repeat that? Say amen if you understand that. That is the meaning. That is who we are. We are not born through the bloodline of Abraham. We are born by the Spirit that gave birth to Isaac, by the same Spirit. When God was asking, bring me Isaac, your son. Now when God, listen to me, when God gives something to a man, now Abraham, and God only knows the secret, how Isaac was born. And God gave him and called him by the name that this is the son of Abraham, but I gave him. So God used a man to introduce his spirit who can surrender to God. That is what happened during the birth of Jesus. The angel of God came to Joseph and told Joseph, you know what? Don't worry. What is conceived in your wife Mary is from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph surrendered to the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding that? When God asked Isaac as a sacrifice, bring your son. Abraham went and offered him. You know why? Because Abraham knew the revelation. I know this came from God. And I know that God is asking him back. That's why Abraham obeyed God, because he knew the revelation. How Isaac came. He came from God. He came from the Spirit of God. That is what Apostle Paul is explaining in Romans chapter. That is how God started his production line. On this earth, Christians, you don't realize, some Christians don't even believe that there are demons. Some Christians don't even believe. They think, oh, you know what? I have heard some Christians praying that, Lord, the whole world, every human being on the earth, I pray that they will be saved. Everyone to go to heaven. I know that Christian is an immature Christian. Everyone cannot go to heaven. We cannot pray for everyone's salvation, because some of them living on earth are snakes with the covering of the flesh. They are the seed of serpents. How can you pray them to heaven? They will not go to heaven. They are destined, those brood of vipers. What did Jesus say? You serpents, you brood of vipers, how can you escape what? The condemnation of hell. Jesus himself says that those Pharisees are never going to heaven. They are going straight to hell. You cannot escape the condemnation to hell, because you know who you are. You are the offspring of Satan. In the same way, you are the offspring of God, because you have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God living in you. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Amen. So that is how God started off his production line. And many of them say, you know, Abraham believed he was able to offer his son Isaac. He knew the title was given to him, but God gave him the raw material for the production of Isaac. And that's why the Bible says in Isaac, from Isaac, the production line of God started. The Spirit of God that gave birth to Isaac, the production line. Are we understanding that? Okay, hallelujah. Amen. So can we now conclude that Satan or fallen angels have the ability to reproduce, and the offspring that they produce are the mixture of demons and human beings? Hallelujah. Okay. And how they are, you might say, are they doing it now? Yes, they are doing it right now. They are doing it now through the heads of dragon. You know, there were seven heads of the dragon. One of the head is the entertainment sector. The Hollywood, the Bollywood, or whatever. And Satan, if you want to get famous, there are many people. Oh my God, it came. So there are many people in Hollywood that are not skilled. Some of them are skilled, but some of them are not skilled. They are all related, because they are the offspring of Satan, and they are asked to perform satanic rituals in secrecy. You don't know it. In secrecy, when they are asked to sleep, there are satanic rituals where they ask this woman who have sold their soul to Satan. They have money, they have fame, they have everything they want, but they are asked to sleep naked on a bed, on a white bed, with a white chamber. And when they sleep there, someone comes, a being, and has sex with them. Their womb, their bodies are used as a host. I saw a documentary where now that lady is 18, 20 years old, that girl rather, but she was born to someone, and her parents died. But the thing is, the grandmother of that child was a high degree witch, serving in the high ranks of Satan. And from the age of 7, she used to take her to the inner chamber from the age of 7. And multiple beings would have sex with her. And when I don't know scientifically, when a baby is born, what is the word called when the baby is being formed, there is something called that they kill while abortion. I forgot that word. So they used to take that when she would conceive and offer it on the altar and cut that and offer blood, and demons are released from it.
Fetus?
Yes, fetus.
Fetus.
Yes, the fetus. Thank you. The fetus, they would take from that. There is a documentary on the internet about her. I think she's from Australia or US, I don't remember, but they would take the fetus, and you know, from the age of 8 or 7 or 8 probably till the age of 15-16, till the time she was rescued, so she conceived so many fetus, one after the other, every year so many fetus. And that is how they multiply demonic spirits. That is why they release spells. Spells are nothing but a release of a demon to someone, and the demon starts to speak, to come inside of the person. Are we understanding that? So that is how they work. What happened in Genesis chapter number 6, you may think, oh, it only happened those ancient time. No, it's still happening. The thing is, we don't know. Christians don't know about it, that these things are happening. Okay. Let us go now to the second topic, or the second introduction. Demons are hyperactive spirits. They are disembodied spirits. You know that. And they need a convenient habitation for that dwelling. They need a convenient habitation for that dwelling. I told you the reason after the fallen angels started to have relationships with human beings, God, a verse came in between and said, you know, God said, I will not strive with man, I will reduce his lifespan. It's because demonic spirit prefer to stay in a habitation forever. In a body forever. They don't want to leave the body. That's why even in the Bible, when the disciple casted out demons, a demon was not ready to leave. When you do deliverance, cast out demons, you will see that demons don't go out easily. Because why? Because they don't want to go out easily. Once they make a person their house, we will come to that. The Bible says, Jesus said, when a demon goes through dry places and finds no place to rest, he comes back to the same house and say, it is my house. So demons take ownership of bodies. It is like, for example, where does Sister Kay stay? She stays in Ontario, Canada. Okay, she's living in that house, in that locality from her birth, for example, and everything, you know, is convenient for her. Now she is much older, and from birth she's staying there. She knows everything, the house is good, the weather is good, and she has become so convenient in that place, staying in that place. If I come and say, Sister K, this is not your house. You are not the rightful owner of the house. Get out of this house. What will happen to her? She does not want to live that house. She does not want to leave that house and go to another house. Because again, that she has to recalibrate, bring together everything, and it will take some years. So she prefers to say, I will not go. This is my house. That is how a demon reacts. Because demons live in a place of convenient habitation, and once it is convenient for them, they don't want to leave that body, they don't want to leave that house. Okay, let's go to the scripture, Matthew's chapter number 17. Matthew's chapter number 17, verse number 13. Verse number 13 onwards. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Or in other words, they could not cast out the demon. They could not cast out what? The demon. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. A demon will never go out if the name of Jesus is not used. The name of Jesus, first of all. Because when you cast out a demon, you are not Jesus. You use the authority of the name of Jesus. Now listen to me. In this case, the demons were not going out. They were saying, in the name of Jesus, go out. He does not go out. He is not going out. Why? He was not going out. But when they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus said, get out. Now when you see Jesus casting out demons and the disciples casting out demons, what is the difference? What, it's easy. What is the difference? The disciples have to say to tell the demon, in the name of Jesus, go out. But read the scripture. When Jesus cast out demon, he does not say get out in the, he says go out. The original person is casting out. That is why the demon goes out when he says go out. Because the true owner has appeared, and the illegal owner has to go out. That it's a matter of ownership when you cast out demon. And second, it's a matter of how much your life aligns to the authority of the name you are using to cast out a demon. When you cast out a demon, you are saying in the name of Jesus Christ, get out. Okay? Now the demon will go out when Jesus is the complete, total, authoritative owner of your life. That gives you power when you say the name of Jesus. It does not. So when you say in the name of Jesus, get out, and your life is aligned with the ownership, the authority of Jesus complete over your life, the demon will go out because Jesus becomes the owner of the person you are commanding the demon, because the demon was the owner until the demon was inside of it. Because the demons will say, it is my house, this is my boy, this is my guy, I will not go out. Remember the revelation of the centurion, where he says, I am under authority, so when I say to this person go, he goes. Okay, stay with me. Okay, listen to me. Then Jesus introduces them. The disciples ask Jesus, why is the demon was not going out when we were? He says, this kind will go out by fasting and praying. Why fasting and praying? Because when you fast and pray, the Lord starts to take authority of your life, expose hidden darkness of your life, and starts to take authority of your life. You are more aligned to the authority of Jesus when you fast and pray and spend time in the secret place. Are we understanding the casting out of demons? I know a demon got into a girl through the Conjuring movie. You know Conjuring movie? Don't see it. Okay, I'm saying Conjuring movie. It's a, you know, first of all, let me give you a disclaimer. Don't read a book on demonology to learn about demons. Don't read a secular book. Never read a secular book. Or don't watch a documentary of demonology to learn about demonology. If you want to know about demons, the original book is the Bible. That's it. Okay? Because people, they don't read the Bible. But I know about demons because I want to learn. I want to know about demons because it's so fascinating. And I want to read a book on demonology. Demons will get inside of you through demonology book. There was a girl who watched Conjuring movie. And secondly, those things they show in the movies, a priest comes with a big cross and with white robes and with a big cross and with a Bible, and they say with the Bible and the cross and cast out that spirit, cast out the ghost, as they say in the movie. That is not casting out of demons. That is, exorcism is not in the Bible. All those exorcism fantasies, like a Catholic priest dressed up, those people come. That is not deliverance. That is not casting out of demons. First of all, it is shown. And that type of movie is Conjuring. It's very horrible. And that girl saw the Conjuring movie. And demons got inside of her. And day and night she would not sleep. She would be tormented by demons. And I was in a church. And I know this because they contacted the pastor of my church and called my pastor. So the pastor said, the pastor took 10-20 people with him in the house to cast out the demon. 10-20 people went into the house. And the pastor said, you know what? Start singing songs. Fill this place with the presence of God. And they started to, 10-20 people inside the house. It was so crowded. And the pastor thought, the more people I take, the demon will go. The more prayer warriors come. So they went into the house and crowded the house. And they were singing songs. 1 hour they sang the song. And the demon was sitting right there. Nothing was happening to them. And then the pastor started off casting out the demon and this and that. He started off in the morning, 11 o'clock, until night, 9 o'clock. All the prayer warriors, one by one, stopped. Dozed off, and the pastor is still trying to cast out. Get out, get out. And the demon is saying, no, no. Yes, the demon never went out. And one of the prayer warriors who was close to the pastor went, you know what, pastor, the demon is not going out. I think this is a psychiatric case. We will refer her to the psychiatrist. So let us go back to the church. He said, okay. No. The pastor counseled the family. You know what? This is a psychiatric case. The demon went out, but this is now, go take her to the... Why? Why? Because the person who is casting out the demon and the 20 to 10 people who are casting out demon are the same people who grieve the Holy Spirit and don't use the authority of the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. Are we understanding that? Once I was with a man of God in a crusade, and after the man of God was preaching on the blood of Jesus, and I was just supporting him with prayers as an intercessor. A man of God was preaching very powerfully. When he was preaching, in the crowd, two girls manifested demons. In the back, in the crowd, they and the girls became like stone. You will not even be able to. Move their finger. The finger became freezing stone, very stiff. And the people took them up and brought them to the altar. And there were 15 pastors. I was beside the man of God and the associate and all. The man of God was praying. And when the man of God prayed, the demons were manifesting. But they were not going out. They were not going out. And what happened when he prayed? And there were those two girls were siblings. They were sisters. They like the Fevicol in India, the glue, the strong glue. They got glued to one another like this. And he was praying and like glued to one another. No, 20 people together were not able to separate both of them. They were glued to one another. So I was interceding. When I interceded, the Lord showed me a necklace with a pendant in the neck of both of them. And that pendant was given by maybe a Hindu priest. And the Lord told me that necklace is the bondage that is tying them together in a soul tie. And this man of God did not believe in preaching against idol worship and all those things. But I went and I told to the close associate of the man of God. I told him, you know what? All night you will pray, nothing will happen. The Lord showed me that there is a necklace that you have to remove in front of everyone. You have to remove that necklace and then they will separate. You have to tell that man of God. So he went and told the man of God. The man of God believed that. And listen to me. So the associate went and he saw the necklace. It was through a scarf, it was hidden. He saw the necklace. And when he took off the necklace, it was like a shock. It was like a lightning speed. They both got off from each other like this and fell far away from each other. You know, demons operate through covenants. I will come. I think I will not be able to preach that. So you got to have, when you do deliverance, it's not only the name of Jesus, get out. It will not go out. Then you need to have a hearing ear to hear God and to see the things of God, to understand why the demon is not going out. Sometimes your life is aligned with the authority of Jesus, but still when you say the name, the demon will not go out, because there is something on the body of the person, maybe a ring. And when I go to crusade, you know what? Politicians have gathered around me, but still I tell them, this necklace you are wearing of this God is the bondage, remove it. And politicians will not utter a word that he has come to convert people. Never ever. I have taken off ornaments, things of other gods from the bodies of people in front of highly influential politicians, and they did not speak anything against me. I was not imprisoned because they saw the power of Jesus is real. They saw it. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Where we were. So the demon was staying in them 20 years. The demon was not doing time pass for 20 years. There are objects, there are furniture, there are strongholds that the demon placed in a person, because of which it will be impossible for even for a servant of God to cast out that demon out of the body of the person. The demons, hallelujah. Are we understanding? For example, if you own your house, you will make the necessary documents from the government, whatever documents needed, that you are the rightful owner of the house, all the papers required, the deed, the conveyance, whatever is required, and the sale contract, the clean title, the clear title of your house, the clear title of your land, the encumbrance of the property, and everything. You will keep it in place, the documents in place, that tomorrow, if someone else comes to you and says, you know what, you are not the owner, I am the owner, you will show the legal documents. You will have everything in place. And even more so, you will also construct walls and security system or bodyguards. You will make sure that tomorrow, if someone else comes in my house and says, this is my house, not your house, get out, I have everything in place. That is how demons are. They keep every wall in place so that even when someone comes to cast out a demon, they will not be able to, because they have legal documents, covenants, everything in place. It needs a man of the spirit to expose and break those things by the blood of Jesus and by the name of Jesus, so that the demon loses its authority, its ownership over the house, over the body, and then the demon has to go out. Are we understanding? They brought a lady in the church, and then the demons of those goddesses were manifesting through her. Shouting. I said, keep quiet. And the Lord told, don't cast the demon out. Bring the woman to her consciousness and ask her if she wants to remove the tortoise ring on her finger and on her legs, because that is a covenant that she has made with the gods. So all of them were Hindus, all of them. So I asked them, I told them, you see, first of all, Jesus is the only God. These things that you are wearing, she has made covenants. Until she will cancel the covenant with those gods and receive Jesus, she will not be well. These demons will not go out. This torment will not go out. So she said, yes, when we took off, they took off everything and the demons went out. And she got, she had paralysis on one part, and this and that, 100, 10, 20 of sicknesses and what, everything. She was healed of it. But when she went back, she was not able to, she actually wanted healing just because she wanted to be benefited by the name of Jesus. When she went back, she again went into a covenant and she never came back to the church. So there the will of man comes into picture. So that is how, until you remove and fill yourself with the word of God. You see, when you get up, that day when I got up from the dream, when I was 12 years old, 13 years old, that time, a movie came out. Actually, it was a demonic movie, and there was a song in the movie. The song invites demons. 12 years back, I heard that song. And recently, when I got up from my sleep, I don't know suddenly how that song, the same song, started to ring in my conscience. I said, what is this? This God up, song is ringing in my conscience. And it's a song of inviting demons. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. And the Holy Spirit told me, sing the song, Everlasting God. And when I started to sing the song, that tune started to, the gospel song started to ring in my conscience. And that song stopped. Then the Holy Spirit told me, until you have the weapon of the word of God, of the praises of God, of the word of God, you cannot fight with demons. You cannot fight with demons. In other words, when a demon goes out of a person, he will come back. And if he comes back and sees the person unequipped, that means the house is still the same. Nothing new has been filled. Nothing new has been constructed there by the word of God. The demon occupies the same house with seven more wicked spirits than itself. Okay, stay with me. So demons need a convenient habitation. So they don't go out of a person easily because they prefer to stay in the same person where they were staying. Because as per them, that person is their place of dwelling, their body. And they say, my house. So let's go to Matthew 12 and we will end there. Matthew 12 after that. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, chapter number 43. Chapter number 12, verse number 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Okay, what are dry places? Dry places are inconvenient habitations. What are dry places? Inconvenient habitation. For example, Sister Ruth is living in New York. She's living in New York. If I ask her, this is not your house, get out of your house. And if I place her in a village in Africa, she will not stay there because her lifestyle, her convenience that she used to get in New York, she will not be able to get that in the village of Africa. The weather of Africa, the atmosphere of Africa, everything, habitation. She's going to sleep and animals are coming here and there. And all those things, she's not able to survive there. She's getting sick there because she moved from one place to another place. That's a dry place. Are you understanding? If a demon, see, it's easy for a person to be permanently delivered if he hosted a demonic spirit just for 5 days. The demon did not do much in that house. But if a person who is hosting demonic spirits for 25 years, it's very difficult for the person to be delivered. I'm telling you the truth. It's not that there is no power in the name, but it's the revelation I'm teaching you. If a person hosted demonic spirits for 25 years, first of all, there is a lot of construction work that has already happened in the person. Like the lady I told you, she was around 60 years old. She hosted those demons from birth. And now, even if I casted out the demons came back because a lot of construction work was done inside the person's body by the demons. Are we understanding? Those construction works are mindsets, strongholds. I have already taught you about those things. Those construction work is a manipulation of the fleshly desire. Like a demon of addiction is casted out of a person and the person is still smoking. Why? The construction work was well done from so many years and the person is not able to break the stronghold by the exercising of his will in submission to the word of God. So, real deliverance, I always say, is not casting off demon. The person is not yet delivered. Real deliverance is getting set free by the truth of God's word. If you say deliverance ministry is casting out demons, no, sir, that is not a deliverance ministry. Real, complete deliverance ministry is the anointed teaching of the word of God to break the strongholds, the construction, the house, the pattern that the demon created while the demon was staying in the person. Are we understanding that? So, that is what it says. When a person who got so convenient, constructed everything in this person's body for 30 years, is casted off, then it goes to places. Obviously, he will not get a place of habitation how he had to have in this person. That is called a dry place, not convenient for them to live in there, stay in there. So it will come back to check. It will come back to check. The demon will come back. Verse number 44. Then he says, the demon says, I will return to my, what? To my house. Everyone say that. To my house. You see that? That is what I was teaching you. The demon has started to say that you are his house. And it was dwelling in your body because it considered itself as the owner of your body. Are we understanding that? Let me go back to my house. It is casted off from you. But still it says, this person is my house. Why? It says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Mm-hmm. You know, you come, Sister Ruth comes back to New York and she sees the house not demolished. New house not constructed, same way the house she made, the same house, the same furniture placed. She says, nothing happened to the house. I can again retain my stay in the house because it was not demolished when I, hallelujah. Are you understanding? People are left, right, center, casting out demons, saying deliverance, but they are not demolishing the house of Satan in their mind, in their body. And that's why when Satan comes, if he comes and sees the house is demolished and a new house is constructed, and I see this house is the house of glory, the house where the Spirit of God is dwelling, the house where the Word of God is, he will not come back. Amen. People of God, can we say amen? Hallelujah. Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That is what happens.
Amen.
So. Casting of demons is not a big thing. It's not the complete deliverance. Deliverance is when you construct your life where the Holy Spirit can come and reside. When you align your life with the Word and the Holy Spirit can come. The demon has, you see, Holy Spirit and the demons cannot stay in the same place. They cannot share the house. Are we understanding? It is impossible for a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, aligned to the Word of God, for to have a demon inside of them. But yes, if the Christian has the works of the flesh evident in them, a demon is there. The existence of the demons is there. A Christian can be tormented or can suffer or go into affliction through the external forces of demons, but not a demon living inside of them. Are we understanding? Okay, we don't have time to go into detail into all those things. Are we understanding? I am explaining you the scripture. Verse number 45. So he comes back and he says, as it was, the same house, nothing is demolished, nothing is touched. What I made, the furniture, everything is in place. Let me come back and stay. Hallelujah. So he comes back and verse number 45. Then he goes and takes with him seven other more wicked spirits than himself. Why? And the last state of that man is worse than the first, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. Why he's taking more wicked spirits than itself, seven more wicked spirits, and going there again? Why? To make sure that again When a deliverance happens, he does not has to go out. So he increases the security level. He has covering now. Seven more wicked spirits are covering me. That is the story of the man who had a legion of demons in the caves of Gadarene. That was the story of that. Okay, not going into that. I don't have time. But the reason why this demon now gathers more seven wicked spirits than itself and brings it in the same house, because he is increasing the security system of the house. For instance, I was working alone building this thing. Let me now this person has come in contact with the gospel or with a man of God or whatever, which can cast me out. So let me increase the workers in the company so that the security system, the level will be increased. And it will be more difficult for anyone to cast me off of this house. I don't want to go out. That is the mentality of demonic spirits. They need a house. They need a permanent dwelling. And that's why Satan hunts for people. That is what happened in the time of Noah. Okay, hallelujah. There are 10 ways I listed where demons visit a person, but I will not take it today. Okay, I think that's it for today. I will not take it today, but let us pray. Let us pray. You know what? Deliverance is already happening, even when I'm uttering this revelation. That itself is powerful. When I'm unveiling the scripture, deliverance is already happening in your lives. So Lord, we pray that people will align their lives with the authority of Jesus Christ. And Lord, let you and your word be the only absolute authority over our lives, Lord. And our body a dwelling place for your Holy Spirit, Lord. And even as you said, Lord Jesus, when Satan came, the ruler of the world came, you said, I have nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him. That we will have nothing to do with the things of the world, things of the flesh, and with the things that Satan offers us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break every legal authority of Satan over the lives of people, every demonic spirit that is ruling their lives, whatever legal hold that the demonic spirits have over their lives, be broken now in the name of Jesus Christ. Be broken now in the name of Jesus Christ. Molaki moraka monokoze. Every spirit of disobedience, I break the hold of that spirit of disobedience which works in the sons of disobedience, the Bible says, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, help us as your people, Lord, to always walk as the dwelling house of the Spirit and the glory of God on this face of the earth, as long as we live on this earth, as long as we breathe. Let our bodies be a dwelling place, a temple for your spirit, that we are the seed of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, right now, even as I preach this, let this utterance of yours that comes through my mouth expose the global agenda of Satan, of how Satan wants to destroy mankind, of how Satan wants to manipulate mankind. In Jesus' mighty name, every satanic rituals which are happening in secret chambers, oh Lord God, I want to thank you that you are exposing them now and putting a stop in Jesus' mighty name. Oh Father, I pray, Lord, there is a war. I already told when we were starting this year that there is a war between the seed of Satan and the seed of God, between the snakes and the children of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, we release fire. We release fire. We release fire in the name of Jesus against those offspring of Satan in Jesus' name. I just pray that Christians who are in this ministry, that you will mature them with the revelation of your word. Oh Lord, that they will know that all of them are not going to heaven. Lord, the sons of Satan are destined to go to hell in Jesus' name. And actually, they are our enemy because they are your enemy, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Whoever is your enemy is our enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, help us not to be like that, like the hanky panky Lord Christians and the naive Christians who say, no, we have to love everyone, we have to pray for them. Help us to be like Samuel, who cut off the head of Agag, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, because he knew who Agag was. Help us to be like Moses, who striked Pharaoh with plagues after plague. Hallelujah. Help us to have mercy on those whom you have mercy, and help us to pray against those who are your enemy, and that is the offspring of Satan. This is the time of warfare, and we cannot be like cats. We have to be like lions. We have to be enemies to the enemies of God and friends to the friends of God. Hallelujah. Hey, Rabbi, Lord, let true warriors arise, having the revelation and the insight of the word of God, of the mysteries of God. I pray that you will train every person out here in the mysteries that have been uttered in this place, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you that the army is arising, the army of the seed of God, the army of the seed, oh Lord, which was found in Isaac. through Abraham, Lord. And we want to thank you for what you are doing on the face of the earth. Maybe it's not so vibrant, Lord, but you are doing it in the caves of Adullam with few peoples who have taken an oath to surrender their lives to you wholly. Oh, Father, use them in the name of Jesus. And let your word convict your people, Lord, to completely surrender their lives for your service and to do what you have called them to do in the name of Jesus Christ. I break every demonic hold over their lives, curses through which demonic spirits have expression to visit them, Lord. I break those curses by the blood of Jesus, because of which they are not able to serve God, because of which they are not able to worship, read the word, attend fellowship. Those demonic spirits are trying to deviate them, and I break the hold and the curses through which it is coming in the name of Jesus Christ and by the blood of the Lamb. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. Thank you once again for this time. In Jesus' name we pray and we say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And